Welcome back to We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
I'm Beth Newell.
And we're back again to talk about our life, our kids.
When you say welcome back, that's something that people do when they're coming back from a break on a show.
Well, I assume everyone.
Everyone's listened to every single episode.
Everyone's listened to every single episode. And how dare you be new.
Despite the different levels of downloads on each of them.
It's a mind game I'm playing with our new listeners who are like, oh my gosh, I've missed something. Everyone else has been around. Where have I been? I've been in the kitchen getting pretzels this whole time and there's a party in the living room.
Welcome back. We'll start back off where we left off with our family. We're not going to give you any context right now.
Welcome to We Knows Parenting. You missed it. You missed out. You don't know what we're talking about. But welcome. Nonetheless, it's been a week, Beth. How was it for you?
It's been a week. It was good. We had Bryn's birthday, which was...
Boy, we really dragged out the Bryn birthday across three episodes.
We can't stop. But it's finally happened. It was an epic birthday. It's the most aware our children have ever been of a birthday that was occurring around them.
Oh, yeah. He had two parties.
He had the cake, the cow cake at daycare.
Which was a huge success.
And then we had his best friend over and his two parents, and it was an epic giggle fest.
Oh, boy. Not just the kids.
Not just the kids.
There's a lot of giggles to go around.
Laughing. It was a nice reminder for me because, as you know, we've both been running in sort of comedy performer circles for a decade or so. And then sometimes when you're at a party talking to a non-comedy person, you're like, wow, this is so boring. And then we had...
Then you get really snobby.
Then we had the parents of Bryn's best friend are like the nicest, smartest, funniest people ever. And they're so great. And I feel so lucky that that is who he's befriended.
Yeah. And I mean, I think this is a huge part of becoming a parent is meeting people outside of your comfort zone, outside of your circles, and realizing that, oh yeah, there's great people everywhere.
Yeah,
like we know plenty of terrible social destroying comedians.
We won't name names, but you know who you are.
Kevin. I'm just thinking, do I actually know anyone named Kevin?
Yeah, it's
I do. Not you, Kevin Cobbs, or
it's a funny dynamic because the dad of the two parents that we were hanging out with is like a little bit more like you, a little bit sillier and more outgoing, and then the mom is a little bit more quiet. And you and the dad got off on like a big I don't know if I should name his name here, but you guys were playing with this pig Bryn has that makes that oink sound. Should we play it?
Oh, yeah. Stay right here. Describe it as I run and get it.
So we got this pig for Bryn one time, and it makes a little bit of a weird pig sound, but sounds a little bit like a fart.
Ooh, and I think you might pardon all the extra noise, but I'm very excited as I put my headphones back on backwards. This pig sounds like this.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounded like a duck when you squeeze it too
hard.
Yeah,
it's a little bit duck-ish.
You gotta do it soft.
Anyway, I'm just going to name names. Yeah. Bryn's best friend's dad named Matt, he discovered this pig, thought it sounded hilarious,
He wasn't wrong.
Started mouthing the noise as if it was coming out of his mouth, then started pretending it was a fart he was making. And
We escalated to fart as a group, but he started...
I think he started fart.
I mean,
but
he did.
You can
but
try
it was
to
not,
take credit for it, but it was him. And
no,
you
no,
were
no.
Very
I'm,
excited
I'm
about
just
it.
Trying to paint a picture that he didn't go straight to fart.
Okay, but
he
there
had
was a lot
joke.
Of like fun having pretending to have the pig sound come out of your mouth and make it open your mouth when the pig sound
came
out.
With a lot
out.
Like this, they like, oh, I think I have a sneeze.
Yeah. Anyway,
great joke.
A lot of like pretend farting. It was very funny, and the 4-year-old boys were giggling their heads off.
Oh yeah.
And then they got into a little thing later when they're eating birthday cake where Bryn's best friend was like quoting that song Down by the Bay and was like, did you ever see a pig wearing a wig or something like that? And
yeah,
then
he made it a rhyming game, and I don't know if Bryn picked up on that.
Yeah, but then they both just started going off the rails being like, have you ever seen a frog in the frog? And that they like didn't, they don't know rhyming words, so then they'd just be like, have you ever seen Lucas doing Pookus? And they were going crazy laughing.
Brent has done this since he was a baby, which is he understands the rhythm of a joke, and he wants that laugh so bad. Yeah. So he's like, have you ever seen a cow in a dream?
Bah! Oh, yeah. He would do a lot that were like, did you ever see a carrot with a... And then he'd look around the room and be like, glass of water? But they were dying, and it was so funny to watch, and Maven's giggling. And she, 2 days later, she was like, do you see a... And she was just, it was out of the blue. Like, she, like, understands the rhythm as well, but doesn't understand what's happening, but she's... Like,
she takes it all in. That girl misses nothing.
Yeah.
Including an opportunity to being fake sick.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, it happened again. Sick.
She was fine.
So this happened today.
She was sick. I guess she threw up at daycare, but then was happy as a clam when she was picked up.
Oh, 100%. So I had a shoot today. Gonna make some money. Big deal. I'm at home. I take the
big
kids.
Big bucks.
Making the big bucks
you
on an internet-only commercial.
The most convenient shoot that could ever possibly happen because we live in the suburbs, and it was a 15-minute drive from here somehow. You were shooting at a high school.
It was a miracle.
When has anything that convenient ever happened in
our
life?
Well, it's a little yin and yang. Last week, I had to shoot something way down in Brooklyn, and I was there till late at night.
Yeah, but that makes logical sense that they would book a place in
Brooklyn. I assumed it would be that, and then they're like, it's in Rybrook?
Yeah.
Like, this is very close.
Oh,
I had
so then
11 a.m. Call time.
So then you picked Maven up, then you had to hand Maven off to me, who had just come back from work after commuting into work, and then we drove you to your shoot, and then I realized she's not really sick, so I'm just going to run some errands if she's going to be preventing me from getting work done. So I took her into a store, and she started, she was like very giggly and happy and running around, and then she started farting and giggling. Like, she was audibly farting and giggling, and I was like, I can't tell. The guy working
Class
there, I was
act.
Like, I can't tell if he knows what's happening. He was like trying to fix the credit card machine or something.
Yeah.
But she was so happy. It was like she knew she was playing hooky.
She was getting away with something.
Yeah.
You got the call that she was throwing up.
Yeah.
Because they call you for some reason, even though I'm the one who's there 95% of the time. And luckily, you had enough time to get on the train and come straight back.
I literally got into Grand Central, was walking to the subway, got a text Maven was vomiting, turned right back around, and got back on the train.
Well, I went to pick her up before you got back, and I walk in, and there's Maven. She goes, Daddy, wearing one of Bryn's shirts because she puked. And the women there were like, well, she threw up, and then she devoured all of her lunch. So she seems to be fine.
She ate lunch at 10 a.m.?
Well, I guess it was breakfast. It was 9:30.
Okay.
But tomorrow, Bryn has a doctor's appointment already because he's got to get his shots for pre-kindergarten. And so I called him up. I was like, I'm bringing a sick one. She's not sick, but I feel like I have to have a doctor's note. If you've listened to this podcast, big theme, doctor's notes.
Yeah, they don't want to hear about this anymore. So you're doing that.
But yeah, I'm bringing them both in, and it's going to be fine. So this all matters because what's happening, Beth, in like 7 hours?
I'm flying out of here and leaving you forever.
Oh, I didn't. 4 days. I didn't realize it was forever.
That's cool. I am going on the first fun mom trip since having kids. It's the first trip that's not at all work related,
mm-hmm.
and it's just for fun. And it's been 4 years or so. Mm-hmm. This is also weird because prior to having kids and even during having kids, we didn't really have time for we didn't have money for fun trips that weren't like family related or whatever. So it is truly bizarre to be able to take a trip that's just for fun. And
well, that sounds great for you.
It's going to be amazing.
And I'm really excited about the trip that I found out you're taking in January to the Caribbean with your friends and without me.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think that I would be annoyed. You might think that. But oh no, my darling, what
it's
I was thinking is
self-care.
Yeah, what I was thinking is, ooh, you've done two. That means I get at least one. I'm going on a trip somewhere.
Where are you going to go on a trip?
I don't know. Do I have to plan it?
There's no way you ever do anything that isn't work-related. So.
You're right. I'm going to Minneapolis in May.
Good luck.
It's work-related.
Another funny thing that happened the other night is I was trying to get Brynn and Maven to bed after their reluctant bath.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I guess it was like the end of the weekend, and I was like, oh man, they're going to be hard. And Brynn was started playing with a flashlight, so I offered to tell him spooky stories in the dark in his bedroom.
Ooh.
And so... he had the flashlight and it was kind of like shining it up at his face, and then it like the battery burned out or something, so he dropped it. But I was telling this spooky story about like a ghost that lived next to a house, a witch that lived next to a house full of ghosts, and she heard a scary noise that was like woo woo or whatever the noise was. They kept repeating it,
mm-hmm.
and it was building a lot of tension in the room. And the
I'm getting scared right now.
The witch checked in on the ghost house to see if they were hearing the noise, but then when she said the noise to them, they got scared.
Wait, wait, wait. So this is a witch who's freaking out because her house is haunted?
It doesn't matter. So I'm telling
like
this story. Maven and Brynn are attentively listening, and they're both going, and the tension is building and building, and then I keep repeating the scary noise, and then Maven, who's now holding the flashlight that she picked up that Brynn dropped, and it's pointed up at her face, all of a sudden the battery comes back on and shines a light on her face. And Brynn was clearly scared. And then he starts laughing in surprise, and he goes, Maven, you got me. And it was so funny.
Well, I wasn't there, but I imagine in your story that the scary sound... it probably sounded a little like this. Ah.
No, you know what the sound was actually? I just remembered. It was the sound that was like, cuckoo, cuckoo. We never got to what the sound was because Maven interrupted with the flashlight, and then we all started laughing. I don't know if I've told this story on here already, but when I was in fourth grade, I was trying to write a story, and it was a spooky story, and I was trying to do it in the style of R.L. Stein, which we were all reading. And... for some reason, it was like about a bony finger, like a ghost bone finger.
It was about a bony finger?
Yeah. And I was trying to come up with like a twist ending, and none of the adults I was talking to could understand what I was going for, and they would throw out ideas, and I was like, that's not a twist. And it was just this bone that like poked holes in people's heads, I guess, at some point. And
Wait. It's a bony finger. Is it attached to...
No, it's a disembodied, like, finger bone. It was poking holes in people's heads. And I
remember... like floating in the air like a drill.
I remember meeting with my fourth grade teacher to discuss, because obviously she wanted to, like, review everyone's stories with them one-on-one and just talk through, like, where it was coming from or what grammatical things needed fixed or whatever. And I knew even as a fourth grader that she was disturbed by what I had written. Like, she was like, how did this come out of her? Great.
Ooh, that was our week. All right, now it's time for We Knows Wins. This is where we talk about a success in parenting. Beth, what is working?
So, in addition to keeping our son alive for 4 years, which is incredibly...
oh, my gosh.
Incredibly impressive, he's now entering preschool, which we've talked a little bit about, but we've started to get letters in the mail about preschool and what mm-hmm. it requires, and you have to pack a peanut-free snack every day and have a home folder and a backpack and different things. It's so weird. It's such a strange feeling to be... parents of a school-age child.
That really affected you.
It did.
By the way, it just started pouring rain, in case you hear that. You got the envelope, and it said...
it said, to the parents of Brynn McNerney.
And you had an emotional moment?
It's just, it feels emotional to be, like, the parents of someone who's entering society in a way. It's like...
yeah.
It's bizarre. And I just... and, like... he's now, we first started mentioning preschool, and he, just being a stubborn three-year-old, he was like, no, I'm not going to preschool. And now he's sort of understanding the idea a little bit better. Yeah. and he started talking through it, and I think he's starting to get excited.
I think that he's really jazzed that he knows that, because he's going to go to pre-K from daycare, because he's still going to go to daycare, and he's going with his friend there.
Yeah.
And so he knows that this is something they get to do, and the rest of the kids don't get to do it because they're younger, and I think that makes him feel special.
Yeah. Also, my sister was talking to him in front of Maven and was like, Maven, are you going to miss Bryn when he goes to preschool? And Maven was like, no. And then Bryn was getting really mad, and he was like, Maven, you're supposed to say you're going to miss me. Maven, you're supposed to miss people when they're gone.
Yeah, when he thinks that being away from someone is the same thing as missing them. It's like saying, I miss you is the equivalent of saying, I haven't seen you for a period of time. Mm-hmm. There's no difference. It's funny that, like, that the parents of feeling. I was on set today eating lunch with some actors, and a bunch of them were parents. So we started getting into parenting conversations. And I realized part of me still sees myself as, like, a young parent, and I don't know what I'm doing, and everyone's older than me. And as we were talking, I still have that in my mind until I realized that everyone's kids, almost everyone's, were younger than mine. Mm-hmm. And then I was the only one with two kids. And that, like, I was the expert on a lot of things. And I still don't see myself as that. It's like I'm not really a parent. But things like addressed to the parents of Bryn McNerney are great reminders of, like, yeah, you're a fucking parent. You have been for 4 years. You idiot. Oops. A pig just hit my microphone. I'm going to put this down. Bye, piggy.
It's funny, before your parents, and you, like, the idea of parent conversations sounds incredibly boring. For some reason, I feel like it's stereotyped as being, like, it is, like, it does sometimes get into the minutiae of, like, potty training and solid foods and shit that no one wants to think about if they don't have to deal with. But at its core, it's just about how do you deal with people who are sometimes very difficult. You know what I mean? And that's like, that's interesting, I think.
Yeah. What is interesting, like, at this table, there was a few parents, there was two people without kids, and somebody with a dog. And they're like, yeah, that's like my toddler. And actually, I just realized, like, having a dog is like having a toddler for its whole life. Where I'm like, why would you want that? You know, like, I love my toddler, but I'm excited for them to be 3, 4, 5.
Well, before I had kids, I preferred babies and toddlers because they're so cute, and I love, if, like, they're so demanding, but if you're hanging out with them for just one day, it's really nice and refreshing to hang out with someone who, like, only wants to make sounds and, like, doesn't care.
Not me, baby.
I
like those 4 or 5 year olds that think I'm funny and I'll fall down and they love me forever.
I think that the age of, like, infant to 2 year old is the age of kid that likes me.
Yeah, and you don't need anything from it.
Well, like, I'm only going to give you, like, you're clearly at a sensitive stage. I'm only going to give you as much as you're ready for right now. If you need me to stand on the other side of the room while you think about whether I'm worth looking at, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you're the type of person where you're not so excited about a kid that you're, like, glaring at them excited, which, like, makes kids nervous. You're there and you're available when they want you. And I think really small kids are attracted to how safe you are and how needy you aren't.
Yeah, but once you have kids, that age is insanity, and I no longer love it as much.
I realize that I've sort of inadvertently really just, like, threw all pet owners under the bus, and babies and toddlers. And of course, like, I understand people love their dogs. I never understood that. I was never into
pets. But you weren't raised with
pets. I wasn't raised with them, and I think that was part of it, because I'm like, it's, especially in New York City, where, like, you're so, it's like having a child where you're just tied to your house and you have to go back all the time. This is a hot take that I have right now.
And that was We Knows Wins. This next segment is called Did You Knows? This is where we share a parenting-related fact.
All right. It's continuing to rain outside, if you can hear it. So we're having a cozy nighttime recording. And now it's time for some knowledge. All right. This is an article, I believe. Didn't write it down. Again. I believe it's the New York Times, though. This was pretty recent. So you might have seen it. A generationally perpetuated pattern. Daughters do more chores. They also earn less allowance, suggesting that the gender inequality in pay begins at home and early in life. But there are signs that the gap is narrowing. But girls still spend more time on household chores than boys do. They are also paid less than boys for doing chores and have smaller allowances. One recent analysis, for example, found that boys aged 15 to 19 do about half an hour of household work a day, and girls about 45 minutes. Although girls spend a little less time on chores than they did a decade ago, the time that boys spend hasn't significantly changed. Boys are also paid more allowance than girls for doing chores, according to analysis of 10,000 families that use this chore app. Boys using the app earned twice what girls did for doing chores, an average of $13.80 a week compared with girls, which is $6.71. Boys are also more likely to be paid for personal hygiene, like brushing teeth or taking a shower, and girls are more likely to be paid for cleaning.
Oh, God.
So there's a few more things. Women do more of the inside work, like cooking, cleaning, and laundry, while men do more of the outside work. These are adults, like mowing the lawn or taking out the trash. Previous research has found that the same divide happens with children's chores. Chores are practicing for adult living, so the problem is it gets generationally perpetuated. So this mirrors the shift with adults. Married men now spend 1.1 hours a day on housework. That's up from 55 minutes in 1983. And married women's time spent on chores has decreased, but is still double that of men, 2.2 hours a day, down from 3.8. The one statistic that was not in here that I suspect is part of the pay discrepancy, although probably not all of it, is they seem to be measuring it on how much money per time it takes to do the chore, as opposed to what the chore is. And I think that girls naturally take longer to do a task because they're more likely to think through and do it well.
No.
Whereas boys are like, boom.
No.
You don't think so? That would be me. When I did chores, it was like, how fast can I do this? And I probably didn't do it.
Do you remember last night when I was cleaning up the kitchen and I handed you a beer bottle to put in the recycling? And I cleaned up like 10 different dishes, wiped the counter down. And you at some point during this walked over to the sink, rinsed out the beer bottle, and then just never made it to the recycling.
This does not count at all. First of all, I clean up that kitchen almost every single night by myself.
But this was in the middle of chores.
I was reading all about Michael Cohen.
But this is not
pleading guilty, implicating the president of the United States in a direct crime. And I was freaking out reading this thing, and okay, I had this bottle in my hand, and I lost all track of everything.
It's not atypical for you to take hours, if not days, to perform one task that you say you're going to do.
Ugh, that's so unfair. I'm so good now.
I didn't say you don't do stuff. I'm saying
you're right. Sometimes that is definitely true. These boxes over here, they've been here for 3 days. But that's because I put them in the corner.
I guarantee that is so much more a male trait to say you're going to do something like take boxes out and then leave it for a full week.
I bet the statistics are in your favor. But back to my point. This takes me back to
I've conducted anecdotal research.
One of my favorite episodes of Brain Games, which has some great shows, great episodes. I love neuroscience, where they, I forget what it was, but it was just like gender competitions. And they had, I'm mixing some up, I'm sure, but they had men and women competing to pack a trunk, and women were far more likely to like look at the thing they needed to do, check all the pieces, think about it, and they actually read all the directions.
Yeah, but what you're saying is misleading because women do stuff like that to save time later so they know where shit is. And men, at the end of the day, are making everything take longer.
These aren't generalizations in any way.
I've talked to other women. If you recall, I compare notes with other moms.
Where do you do this? Do you have some sort of forum? Is it online?
We share. We help each other. We have community.
Well, let's rewind. So chores. We've talked about chores in our past. We've done.
Yeah. It's hard for me to speak to the money thing because I don't remember ever getting paid to do a single chore. But I do know that my brother was asked to mow the lawn and my parents very much wanted him to get out of the house to do that. And they were trying to get him off the computer. And when I would offer to mow the lawn, they wouldn't let me.
And That's really interesting.
No one ever would teach me how to mow the lawn because they just decided I didn't need to know as a girl.
Yeah.
They didn't say that out loud, but it was definitely.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing I took from this is the like, yeah, my chores were never, it wasn't dishes. It wasn't cleaning up. It wasn't the stuff that I had to put a lot of time and energy into getting myself to do as an adult. No, it was outside stuff. It was mowing the lawn. It was like a general pick things, sort things.
Yeah.
It was not the finer points of actually cleaning a home. Traditionally, female roles. You know, and so those gender roles were part of my chores. It's hard to tell, though, because I had it was four boys in our family. So if we had a daughter, would they have different chores to do?
Yeah, it feels like a lot of these, like, male chores are, like, they're holdovers from, like, the days when people, like, lived on farms and, like, tractors needed to be fixed and stuff. And now they are, like, somewhat irrelevant, like, non-urgent activities where men have an excuse to just, like, putter around and, like, not do useful things.
Hey, your chores this week, Bryn, I want you to just sort of putter around, you know, and don't make it worse than it is.
It's like, let's organize the garage that we never use for anything because we live in 2018.
So I have been reading some things about chores and when you should start instilling a work ethic. And a lot of things I've read are like 3 and 4 is a good time to get into it. Like, boy, we don't expect anything of Bryn. And I'm starting to worry, like picking up. The other day, he dumped all the Legos on the ground.
Yeah.
And I was like, we have to pick these up. And he helped me for a little bit until he got bored.
I know. We need to work on that because it's going to be a very uphill battle with him. He's not interested in attending to the needs of others or the group.
Yeah. So we should be conscious of that when we give them chores, that they're the same thing. Or if they have different things, they have to trade off each week. Let's do a little test raising our kids.
There's like, despite what I just said about usefulness, I do think there is something to be said for like letting people do the chores that they are drawn to.
See, I feel like there's missing data in this article because how many people within a single family have like a daughter and a son and are paying them different amounts?
Definitely a lot of people. I'm sure like.
Really?
I don't want to make a lot of offensive generalizations, but I've been on a Christian Instagram rabbit hole lately. And I have to imagine that like Heartland, Middle America, people who go to church, there still is like a strong attitude of like, boys do this and girls do this.
Well, that is a big generalization.
No, it is not.
There are certain trends, but it's not just like Christian mentality.
I'm not saying it's just Christian. I'm just saying if you follow these Christian Instagram accounts, it's built in to their world that men are listened to and women should tend to the needs. And that's not foreign to the people we grew up with either, because any family event, you see the women cooking, cleaning, serving.
You're talking about a very specific type of, I mean, there's trends and
this is all across the country.
Yes.
Last family event you attended and who was cooking and cleaning.
Right. I'm just cautious of pinning down just Christians as being guilty of this.
I just said everyone.
Great. Then I agree. But what you're talking about, there are some specific, very Christian-based Instagram accounts, one of which followed us recently, specifically Christians against the cruelty of chores or something.
But this is not... Okay. You're acting like I'm making an unfair generalization in middle America, but most of America is different from the people we talk to day to day. And if I were to talk to any of the people I normally interact with day to day, and I was like, oh no, this new Me Too story happened, they'd be like, oh God, yeah, another one. People I know, when they go back to their families in other states and they say Me Too, their families are like, not just 50-something, 60-something people, 20, 30-something people are like, okay, I think Me Too is getting a little much now. Can we roll it back? Or they're like...
Me Too.
Or they're like, I'm against racism, but you know what? People shouldn't say honky either. That's also offensive. They always want to argue that reverse racism is a thing. So yes, I do think the gender roles and the way chores are getting doled out and monetized are still probably fairly backwards across the country.
I'm not going to argue any of that. I agree. Anyway, let's pay our kids the same amount. I vow. Yeah. Maybe let's just go for it.
Let's make sure Brent actually does his chores before he gets paid for them.
Yeah. Well, let's just pay Maven more and we'll just balance it out for the rest of the nation.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Sorry, Bryn. We've definitely thought this through. Now it's time for Would You Knows? This is where we posit a hypothetical parenting situation to the other to see how we would handle it. This one's interesting. This one's a little different. And I think I know what you're going to say, but maybe you won't. This comes to us from Joel. Joel wants to know, okay, so in this scenario, your child has 6 fingers on each hand. Do you get the surgery to remove the extra digits or no?
This is a tough one. I guess I would talk to the doctors. I think the weird thing about a 6th finger is it doesn't look like a normal finger. It's sort of like a weird little pinky toe sort of thing.
Generally. You know this?
Usually when people have a 6th finger, it doesn't look like their other finger. So it does have it's a very attention getting.
Yeah. So it's not like Princess Bride where you can fill out a full 6th glove finger.
As you know, our daughter has one webbed toe.
Yes. This is the first thing I thought of why I picked it. Maven has a full on web toe.
Yeah, and when we saw it when she was born, I was like, this is great. I love it. She's a witch. She got us a free car. She's magical.
On 1 foot. It's just these two toes together.
Yeah, it's on 1 foot. We brought it up to the pediatrician, and in my mind, it was almost just sort of bragging. Like, I was like, look at this.
Have you seen this perfect webbed toe?
Yeah, and he was like, okay, well, you might be able to get that fixed soon, or you could wait till she's a grown up to get it fixed, or whatever. And I was like, get it fixed.
That was not quite right. He gave that as one of the options. He didn't say this is definitely something you should get fixed.
He didn't say definitely, but he kind of implied that he thought we wanted to get it fixed.
He's probably encountered stuff like that before and does make the assumption that parents are worried about it, because in general, parents are worried about
it. Yeah, I mean, anything we bring up to him, he tries to calm us down as if we're on edge, no matter how relaxed we are about it.
You can see all the other conversations he's had with people reflected off of his face when these things come up.
Yeah, but this in particular, I was like, don't touch my daughter's webbed toe.
You're like, actually, can you sew up some of the other ones? Because that webbed toe's lonely.
She was a mermaid in a past life.
Well, obviously.
So, but the finger thing is different because it's very out in the open and you have to sort of factor in how the kid is going to feel about it as they get older and they're like a teenager. And I,
that is one where, you know, in an idealized version of this, you're like, you know what? Let's let this kid decide. Let's let him grow up. But if it is something that visible and something that is very, I was going to say, fixible, and
it's
that,
very,
that implies
yeah, I'm sure
that
it's a very, it's a relatively thing. Simple surgery and like low risk.
Yes, that is. It's like, you know what? That's going to draw attention to someone that may cause them to be self-conscious and be ridiculed and affect their level of confidence growing up. And do I want to risk that? That might be something I'd be like, yeah, do it.
I could definitely see this being a point of contention between us because there's part of me that would want to just leave it and see. Yeah. Like, just, I don't know.
Well, I had a really interesting experience. When we worked at that school, there was a kid there who had a lazy eye. I don't know what the appropriate term is for that. And he was a kid that got into trouble a lot. And it made me realize like how powerful eye contact is. And like as a playground monitor, I'd yell kids' names and then I'd make sure that they saw me and I'd connect and just shake my head. And that's all I needed to do. And with this kid, like a few times, I remember just being like, hey, I'll call him Kevin. And he'd look at me and I didn't think he was looking at me because it was across the playground and that'd be Kevin. And I'd like keep on him. And then I realized he was, and I'd feel really bad. And I could feel that like he's not getting the same focus and treatment. And he sort of was like a quiet kid. And then he had over the summer, like surgery and it was fixed.
This was his eye?
Yeah. And when he came back the next year, you could see the confidence build in this kid that like he could feel people could read him differently. They yeah. treated him differently.
But that's a different one because that is eye contact is such a big part of your day to day. I do yeah. remember there was a kid in my middle school who had like a small deformed hand. It was like something from birth. And he at some point they were putting like growth plates in or something to try to make his fingers grow longer. And I remember as a middle schooler being like, why now? Like, what? It's like it didn't seem like it was going to get more functional. It was just like this weird aesthetic choice. And also, he was really cute. And I was like, you're like, fine.
You're like, I don't mind.
And I was like, you look great.
You're probably a witch, and I'm in love with you. Obviously, that's tricky because you should raise your child to be confident in who they are. But if like there is a simple, I'm sure like cleft palates and things happen all the time, and that is a common surgery where it's like, yeah, why not?
Well, cleft palates I think is a function thing. Depending on the severity of the palate, actually makes it hard for them to chew food and stuff.
Yeah, I mean that has a wide array of possible problems. But six fingers, you don't need them. You know what? If you have six fingers and you're listening to this podcast, please, tell us why you held on to them.
Please tell us if you know people with six fingers. I bet I'm sure it's hard in childhood at a certain age, but I feel like if you knew someone who lived to adulthood with six fingers, it's just a lovable part of them.
I mean, if they're a lovable person, like, what if they're a real asshole?
Yeah, but I mean,
I'd be like, that weirdo with the six fingers. But if they're the coolest, I'd be like, Sharon's so cool. She has six fingers.
They're probably cool.
Yeah.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. This is where we get some questions from our listeners.
All right. We have some listener mail. So we got a ton of emails actually this week about our lovely little spat we had last week and a conversation about male vulnerability. And I'm going to pull those all together, and we're going to do that next week. So thank you to everyone who wrote in. We got some actually really interesting and like honest emails.
I'm glad people appreciated that conversation because I was afraid people were just going to tune out halfway through the episode.
Well, I will say that we made some assumptions about who would agree with us based on gender lines. Mm-hmm. And it was not exactly what you'd think. Hmm. That's a preview for next week. All right. So first of all, this email comes to us from Allison, who wants to say that she loves the show. I'll skip the compliments for us. She has one boy born on April Fool's Day and another one on the way in January. Here's the problem. Luke has always been an angel. This is the older, the currently born child.
the one she's aware of.
The one that's outside of her. Luke has always been an angel. He didn't do terrible twos or threes, but OMG, he is a terrible four-year-old. He is super demanding and thinks he runs the show. He also seems unhappy all the time, no matter what I do with him, like it's never enough, and I just want to pull out my hair and cry sometimes. My parents say he's acting this way because of the new baby on the way. He knows about the baby, but doesn't really acknowledge it, and I'm not entirely sure if he understands what's going on. Did Bryn start to act funny when Maven was coming into the picture? Allison, yeah. Yes, yeah. He did. He was only 20 months old.
He was 20 months old, but it's like they have a sixth sense where they pick up on the fact that a baby's coming, and they
get very clingy.
Get very, very clingy. Bryn was waking up in the night a lot when he was like a month before Maven was born. Like out of the blue, he just started waking up again.
I've said this before, and I don't know if this is true, but it feels very true. Where I imagine it is an evolutionary advantage for kids, you know, hunter-gatherer babies out in the woods. When their mother starts going into labor, they can't watch a small child. So it's in that child's best interest to suddenly become clingy and stay near the mom when they sense that something's getting close as opposed to running off.
Sure.
Sounds like a good theory.
I also felt like a week before Maven was born, Bryn was waking up like every night, and I kept feeling like she was visiting him at night to be like, I'm coming.
I'm taking over your life.
Get ready for me.
You're
going
to hate me.
And he was like, stop it. He was like, don't come. I've got a good thing going here.
Allison, that's what's happening. Luke just has his younger sibling's pre-born ghost in his head haunting him.
No, but I mean, I have heard more grounded theories, less woo-woo theories about how even if they're not, you know, psychically picking up on the fact that you're pregnant, they pick up on the energy in the room, which is that there's a lot of hubbub from the adults around that a baby's coming. So
behavior's different.
They know something is up.
Also, mama's huge.
And mom's huge. And Bryn used me like a very luxurious pillow for the last few months.
Oh, yeah. He loved using your belly as a pillow. Yeah. Here's a crazy thought. Do you think there is something going on with milk production where suddenly your child can sense or smell in the air this memory of breastfeeding and of milk and that level of connection and feeling that desire and realizing you can't have it and getting needy? Crazy.
No.
But what if it's true?
Bryn was still breastfeeding when I got pregnant with Maven. And
when you got pregnant?
Yeah.
But not near the end. But that doesn't happen till later. When do your boobs get full of milk? Within a pregnancy?
They're not full of milk. They start leaking colostrum maybe towards the last month. Just tiny specks of it.
What if your older child can smell it and it reminds them of being a baby and suddenly they have attachment
it's
issues?
It's possible. I know a couple weeks ago, Bryn... He hadn't been using his blankie too much, so at one point I just stuffed it in the closet to see if we were like done with it.
Yeah.
And then we were having like a difficult bedtime a couple weeks ago, and he kept like coming out and he was like, I want my blankie. So I got out of the closet and gave it to him. But it was almost as if like part of him was just feeling vulnerable and he sort of regressed to like a younger.
We said, sorry, Bryn, we need your blankie. It's part of our random sound insulation process for recording a podcast about you.
We have so many blankets around us right now. We really need to come up with a more permanent solution.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another email. You ready for this?
Yeah.
This comes to us from Sarah. Podcast is great. I have an 18-month-old and your podcast makes me feel a little less insane. You're welcome. Such as when all the such as when all the pear I just cut up flew onto the ground, I told my, at the time, 10-month-old to just eat it off the floor. Seemed easier to me than cleaning both the floor and his high chair. Mm-hmm. Or when I found out the afternoon after his first day of daycare at 16 months that he had, croup?
Croup, yeah, that's a coughing thing.
And then she goes, oops, thanks for publicly sharing your crazy, Sarah. Boy, I relate to that like they've thrown the food on the ground and you're like, oh, another, you just can't.
It wasn't that long ago that our dining room table, like the carpet was just covered in little tiny bits of food because you have to cut everything up so small for them so they don't choke.
Yeah.
And then they just throw it everywhere.
Yeah.
And so your floor is just littered with food. And at a certain point, you just start to evaluate the messiness of the food and what it's like later. So like peas, if they're left on the floor for a couple of days, they just get hard and then vacuum up easily. So you're like, I'm not going to pick up all those peas. I'll just deal with that later.
Blueberries, by the way, our new black and white carpet, I found a encrusted blueberry on the black part. And I was like, oh, I started to scrape it up and I'm like, I don't have the energy right now. And you know what? You can't see it. See if you can find it.
Yeah. Blueberries, kind of a nightmare. You have to pick your battles.
Oh, yeah.
I love that she just let the kid eat him off the floor.
I have a lot of respect for that, Sarah.
I remember watching shows years ago when it was like shows, they do show like reality shows about like quintuplets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be like, you know what? It's just too hard to like get them all seated and feed them. So what we do is we keep our kitchen floor very clean. And then when it's mealtime, we just throw a bunch of Cheerios all over the floor for all of them. And I was like, that's perfect.
Might as well just have a trough.
Yeah.
That's what we do, but we don't keep things clean. We just let them drop it. I pick a lot of food up and I go, here you go, have some immunities.
This has been We Knows Parenting. You guys can find us on Facebook at the We Knows Parenting page, Instagram and Twitter. We are at We Knows Pod. Our website is weknowsparenting.com. You can email us there. We have merch available, some fun t-shirts on the site. Peter, what's our Google voicemail?
You can also leave us a voicemail, 347-384-7396. You can find that on all of our social media accounts, descriptions, yep, and the website as well.
Email us at weknowspod@gmail.com.
That's right. And hey, how about leave us a review? Why don't you write it up?
Rate,
tell us
review,
that we're pretty.
Subscribe.
And that would be cool. And what else? You know what? Just keep going. Just keep doing it. Whatever
you guys,
it is and
you
whomever you are.
It always gets better. It could never be as hard as however small your kid is right now.
You got this. That's our new catchphrase. #YouGotThis. Until next time. Bye.